Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Is it just me, or is it getting, it gets worse every year, doesn't it? I mean, these years, it can't be 52 weeks, can't be 365 days. It feels more like 32 weeks and maybe 220 days. I mean, that's just the way it feels, and it's good to be back with you live after an extended break for Christmas, which was awesome. It's just the Noble family. We were down in South Florida in Naples. My father-in-law has a condo down there. So that was really nice, except for the 29 hours of driving. Going there and coming back. That was brutal. Oh, man. And of course, when you live on this side of the country, on the eastern half of the country, and you travel I-95, it's just a big train wreck. And, you know, one little accident or one little thing off the side of the road, people rubberneck for miles. Just crazy. But it was great to just have the Noble family. It was just the six of us down there for gone. I mean, literally, this is like yesterday was the 10th day we were gone. And of course, 2 days of those driving, it felt like 4 days driving, but it was great. It was great to spend time with just the six of us. I like that when it's just our family. It was a little odd because it was like 80 degrees or 82 or something on Christmas. And, you know, there's decorations and stuff down there, but it just doesn't, the warm weather Christmas just doesn't feel like Christmas to me. I don't know about you. Maybe you're a warm weather person. People out, if you're listening out there on our Wilkins radio affiliate, for example, in New Mexico and Albuquerque, I mean, you're used to that. But for me, kind of a Midwesterner for the most part, and even here in North Carolina, we get all four seasons. So it's just a little odd. But it was still great to have that time together as a family. And I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. And of course, today it's all over. 2018. It's just is it just me? Is it just getting worse? Every year they get shorter. And every year, it's just bizarre, this whole aging process. But I want to go through a bunch of that stuff the year and review top news stories by month. Of course, the number one. What do you think the number one news story of the year was? By editors, writers, readers, what do you think the number one news story of the year was? You think it actually wasn't Donald Trump, believe it or not. It was the mass shooting at Parkland, Florida. That was by far the number one story of the year. But I'll go through that month by month. And then I want to look at some of the top 10 votes in Congress, which are disgusting. Good, you know, it's kind of fun. And then, of course, on that note, what will happen this Wednesday when the Democrats take over the House? What's going to happen with the government shutdown? Just a couple comments on that. And then some big name people that died throughout the course of the year. And a lot of these you won't even know about. But found a really exhaustive list, and we'll go through that. And then a really cool story about a father who did something for his daughter who's a flight attendant over Christmas. And then we'll finish up the last segment of the day. We'll do kind of a wrap-up, a financial wrap-up. Our good friend David Fisher, who's had all kinds of health challenges, he was on earlier in the month and shared his testimony of that and how God has just been moving in his life and just really some challenging health scares for David there. So he's going to call in the last segment. So we'll do kind of a final financial wrap-up of the year and looking into 2019 at the end of the show. So great to be with you guys. And again, hope you had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year a couple hours early. So here we go. The year in review, top news stories of 2018 by month. Okay, so January, this is the way we're going. I'm going to do a whole show on this after the new year. On the legalization of marijuana. The year began with California becoming the sixth state to legalize the sale of recreational marijuana. And then also in January, forget this, this is almost a year ago now, but Larry Nassar, judge sentenced physician Larry Nassar up to 175 years in jail for sexually abusing more than 250 girls in the world of gymnastics. Remember that? And a bunch of other things, but that was just a train wreck. February, of course, the Winter Olympics went to South Korea. And then we had the number one story of the year, the gunman opening fire at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, killing 17 students and staff members. That was February. In March, of course, on the heels of that, the March for Our Lives. And one thing you'll notice, no matter where you look on these top stories of the year, the March for Life itself in January never makes the list. That just doesn't get any press at all. Even though you'll have a couple hundred thousand people out there in a few weeks marching for the cause of life. But that never shows up on these lists for obvious reasons. But yeah, the March for Our Lives, which was done by a couple of the survivors from the Parkland shooting. And then everybody jumps on the bandwagon on gun control. So that happened in March. Of course, that was a big deal. And then in April, April was the month of social media and porn stars. So that was, remember that Mark Zuckerberg appeared before Congress to defend his Facebook over all these data breaches, which just shows you when you, if you watch that, or if you listen to any of these congressional hearings these days, when they're talking to people from the tech world, especially social media, Amazon, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, you realize how disconnected most of our representatives in Washington are from the real world, especially the world of tech. But that was April. Zuckerberg, remember that whole nightmare, him appearing before Congress. And then Stormy Daniels, the porn star, stripper, yada, 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 took center stage after President Trump denied paying off the former stripper over their alleged encounter. That was April. And then in May, the huge volcano in Hawaii erupted. That was a big deal. President Trump pulled the U.S. out of the Iran nuclear pact, which I thought was great. And did you stay up late and watch Meghan Markle marry Prince Harry? I did not. Did you? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. Don't be bashful about that. Did you stay up late? I did that once in high school when Princess Diana married Prince Charles. Remember that? That was a big deal. And so there was this girl, sorry, honey, my darling wife, Gina, of 26 years, probably listening or watching on Facebook. But there was this girl in high school that I kind of liked. And she was like, oh, Steve, will you stay up and watch the wedding with me? You know, there's you only had like three or four networks to choose from back in 1927 or whatever year it was. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Okay. If it'll, you know, get me a date or something. So I actually watched that one. I don't know. It was 4 a.m. or something stupid like that. But of course, that was in May. Meghan Markle marries Prince Harry. And then in June brought reports that migrant children had been separated from their parents. Remember all that? The President Trump's zero tolerance policy. And that all blew up. And kids in cages, all that kind of stuff. And then the big meeting. President Trump traveled to Singapore to meet with North Korea's Kim Jong-un. Remember that? The first U.S. sitting U.S. president to meet with a North Korean leader. That was a big deal in June. July, France won the World Cup. Yawner. But Trump nominated Brett Kavanaugh, which, of course, takes us into the Brett Kavanaugh story and then some other things. August, a big month for celebrity, well-known people that had died. And then September, the Kavanaugh hearings. And then October, November, December. We'll do that. And then we'll talk about some other things, some top votes in Congress that were pretty much all disappointing and some other news of the year and looking forward. We'll be right back. Doing a little beatboxing here in the studio. Welcome back. Merry Christmas. A couple days late. This is Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. TheSteveNobleShow.com. You can join us on Facebook if you're looking at your Facebook feed, which odds are pretty good. Just go to the search box. If you haven't already liked this page, you know, just repent. It's okay. It's good. It loves you. But you should probably repent for that. And then just jump on over to The Steve Noble Show on Facebook, like the show, and then you can join us on Facebook live that we broadcast whenever we're on the air pretty much every time. Not 100%, but we're close to that. So you can join us right here in the studio. Many of you don't. Some people hear the show delayed by a couple hours or into the evening, and then but you can always join us. We're always live, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time, here live in the studio on the campus of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And speaking of that, this Thursday, we'll do Theology Thursday. Well, the gentleman who actually is a Brit got saved over there, spent years with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, all kinds of evangelism, and so it'll be fascinating to hear his testimony, and we'll talk about quote-unquote post-Christian Europe in Great Britain, what's going on with the Islamic expansion over there and immigration, and he'll be a fascinating guest on Thursday. Wednesday, one of my favorite guests over the years, especially on the topic of homosexuality, his name is Christopher Yuan. He's been on the show many, many times and came out of that lifestyle himself, living a chaste lifestyle got busted for a huge drug deal. Big drug dealer, I think marijuana for the most part, which isn't, you know, against the law in a lot of places anymore. Interestingly enough, that's another topic, another day. But Christopher got saved when he was in jail reading the Bible. His parents were immigrants from China, and they got saved first. And just an unbelievable testimony. Great, great. I think the best evangelical out there speaking on the topic of homosexuality, same-sex attraction, and transgender stuff. The name of the book is Holy Sexuality in the Gospel, Sex, Desire, and Relationship, Shaped by God's Grand Story. We'll spend the entire show together on Wednesday. Then Thursday, we'll hear Theology Thursday and take it from there. Into the new year. Can't believe it. I was just going through each month, kind of the biggest stories of the year, and we talked about all these as they were happening. July, of course, is when Trump nominated Brett Kavanaugh. August, Aretha Franklin died, the Queen of Soul. John McCain died in August. I'm going to go over a couple of those big name people that passed away this year, some really interesting ones in there, which reminds everybody the brevity of life. My father went to be with the Lord in September, and his life was not brief. 91 years, a huge blessing. I just feel so blessed that I had my dad for 91 years. A lot of people don't. That's not the norm. And then you hear of somebody else that I just heard recently of somebody, a young gal, conservative, with one of the online groups. I can't remember which one it was. It wasn't Conservative Review. I can't remember the group it was. But she was also on Fox News and stuff. 26, died just a couple days ago. 26. And just so sad, heartbreaking. So the brevity of life is something we all need to be reminded of. September, Christine Blasey Ford. Nobody else, we'd never heard of her before. Then all of a sudden we do. When that came forward with her allegations about Brett Kavanaugh. And so September was the big deal. That was what we did all September, talking about the nightmare that was the confirmation process. And of course, he was later confirmed to the court. October, we had Hurricane Michael. That was a big deal. And then, unfortunately, the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, the shooting there. And then the murder of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi, which was most likely the agents of Saudi Arabia. That was October. November, of course, the Democrats regained control of the House of Representatives. On the West Coast, wildfires left 88 dead in the massive campfire. And there was still another mass shooting, this time at a bar in Thousand Oaks, California. So sad every time that happens. December this month, former President George H.W. Bush, his wife died earlier in the year, was laid to rest in Texas. And then, of course, we had a deadlock over the funding for President Trump's border wall, which led to a partial shutdown, which is still going on today. And we'll see what happens. The new Congress will be sworn in on Wednesday. Nancy Pelosi will become the new Speaker of the House. And literally that day, every committee, all the leadership, all flips from Republicans to Democrats. And they're going to pass a spending measure that they know Trump's probably not going to sign. I hope this government shutdown goes on for a while. I think the issue of immigration and our immigration policies on the southern border, as well as how we enforce our southern border, are huge issues that need to be addressed. And they'll shut down the government over, you know, thousands and thousands of people on the southern border. But none of these fools, heartless, careless, weak-kneed, weak-spined, lacking courage members of Congress, all Republicans, I'm speaking to every Republican now that's in Congress in both the House and the Senate, they'll shut down the government over the southern border, but they won't shut down the government over a million dead babies a year. They won't do that. It disgusts me. But try not to get down that road. Okay, the AP, here is their top 10 list. Number one, Parkland school shooting. Number two, Trump-Russia probe, which is still going, obviously. The Me Too movement, that was a big one. Number four, the mass shootings, which was a number of them. When a Marine combat veteran shot dead 12 people at a country music bar in California in November, it was a grim not-again moment for many Americans. The fifth mass shooting of the year in the U.S. that produced nationwide shock and sorrow. In May, 2 months after the Parkland shooting, 8 students and 2 teachers were killed at a high school in Santa Fe, Texas. In June, a gunman shot dead 5 employees at the Capital Gazette newspaper in Annapolis, Maryland. And in October, 11 people were killed at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh during Shabbat morning services, which is just more signs of the depravity of mankind. We don't have a gun issue. I don't think we have a law issue. We have a sin issue. Number five, U.S. midterm elections. Obviously, number six, U.S. immigration all across the course of the year. Number seven, this is according to the AP, the Kavanaugh hearings, which I would have lofted ahead of a bunch of these. 8, California wildfires, a big deal, obviously. 9, climate change. Of course, consider the source, the AP. So you have a couple of hurricanes, it's going to be climate change. And number 10, Khashoggi. The killing, the guy who's not a great guy, by the way. I'm not in any way advocating that his murder, but he was not some great human individual. He was dark in many different ways, but that was the number 10, according to the AP. There's something you're not hearing much of, because we in the social media world, the Twitterverse and all that stuff, this is what we do. We hear headlines, we hear the tweets, we see the Facebook post, which is mostly we just see the clickbait headline, right? And then we don't pay any attention to anything other than that. We pay attention to the big grand sweeping narrative things and the statements that get attention. But how many people are actually paying attention to what Congress is actually voting and doing? There's what Trump says, and then there's what Trump does. There's what Congress says, and then there's what Congress does. You have to pay attention. You have to judge people by their fruit, what they do. Even James got that right. You show me your faith by what you say, I'll show you my faith by what I do. So here's some of a list of the top 10 votes in Congress. This was from Conservative Review by Chris Pandolfo, who's a great writer, great conservative. And some things that most people probably don't have a clue actually happened. Support unconstitutional abuse of Americans' privacy? What? This procedural vote in the Senate was to advance a bill reauthorizing Section 702 of the Foreign Surveillance Act without substantial reforms. Well, what's the big deal there, Steve? Well, I'm glad you asked. This law permits the warrantless surveillance of American citizens. That's a problem. Has been a while, since 2001. Number two, support effort to ban abortions after 20 weeks. That got passed? Of course not. Of course it didn't. So I'm going to talk about that. These are some of the top votes in Congress that nobody's talking about. We just go with the headlines. We go with the statements. We go with the fleshly stuff, right? But let's look at the results. So we got that. We got massive spending bill after massive spending bill signed, sealed, and delivered by Republicans as much as Democrats. Those are several of those. The amnesty thing, so sad. I'll try to pick it up when we come back. Welcome back. Just rocking out a little bit here in the studio. My friends on Facebook Live, can you see this really cool shirt I'm wearing today? I got this at the Museum of the Bible last time I was up there. It's a Billy Graham quote. I'm looking down on it. The Bible will always be the center of controversy. And I've got that on. It's kind of a dark gray, almost black shirt. The Bible will always be the center of controversy. I've got my black baseball cap with the white cross on it. So I look like one of these obnoxious, unapproachable, judgmental Christians today. Although I'm very approachable, and I try not to be very judgmental. I know I cross that line from time to time. And I'm going to get back to these stories. I just wanted to mention this. So God has been really gracious. We've grown a lot. The show has grown a lot this year and added in major markets to our friends at Wilkins Radio, mostly, where we're in Indianapolis now. Hello, Indianapolis. And Kansas City. Hi, Kansas City. And Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hello out there. And Hawaii, which wasn't Wilkins Radio, but and we're looking at some other cities with Wilkins, Asheville, North Carolina, here in my state. And that's been awesome, but we really, if you got kind of our year-end fundraising thing, we had a matching grant, which we were able to meet. Praise the Lord for that. Having one of the better end-of-the-year fundraising campaigns for the ministry that we've ever had, which is a huge praise. If you still want to donate, if you feel compelled, if this show has been a blessing to you, this platform blesses you, and you want to support us financially, let me tell you what we're going to be using the money on. So most of you have known I've done stuff with the Harvest Crusades and Greg Laurie for years. That official kind of employment-type relationship with them came to an end on October 1st. Nothing negative. They're just doing some different things at Harvest, and we'll see what happens there. And praying for that. Love those guys. Still have a great relationship, but that was a significant portion of my income. And with my board and some other friends going, hey, Steve, I think God is clearing the deck a little bit here to allow you to focus more on really the epicenter of your gifting, which is kind of what we're doing here in these conversations that we have Monday through Friday. But for years, people have been saying, Steve, you should really be doing more to speak to younger people, because most of you know, if you've listened to the show for a while, that I teach every Thursday. I teach high school age homeschoolers. I have for 7 years now. I've been in that world since I was in college and worked for a big student painting company. I managed all college guys when I was in college, did that for 6 years after college, and then my own business when I first moved to Raleigh and we started our business, my wife and I hired all college students. God's just given me favor with younger people, but they're not listening to Christian radio. That's the world of podcasting and YouTube and YouTube channels and videos and stuff like that. So we believe, at my board and myself and some close friends are like, hey, we think that God is kind of clearing the deck a little bit here and moving the harvest thing off of your table so you can concentrate more on content and what I'm doing here on the show and trying to reach the younger audience. Well, guess what? Younger people, Christians and non-Christians, 40 and under, really aren't listening to Christian radio. So you got to go to them where they're at. So we're going to start a different podcast. It'll be a totally different show from this one. This show is for my generation, your generation, pretty much 50 and over. That's the Christian conservative talk radio. But I really, and I believe God's given me that ability, so does my board, to reach the younger generation, to engage them on, yes, the topics of the day, but the gospel in general, Christianity in general, and to be anything other than what they expect me to be or us to be, which is these kind of condescending, old, angry white males and females, whatever. And that whole thing, I just want to get in there and blow that up and be something they're not expecting me to be, which is civil and winsome. And, you know, I can handle the conversations and debate and all that stuff. But I really want to get in there and have those types of conversations. I think that there's not much connection at all between that millennial generation and our older generation, kind of us recovering culture warrior types. And so podcasting, a totally different venue there, a different show, literally, while still doing this. But I needed the time to do it. Well, God is providing that time. But he also needed to provide income. So if you want to be a part of that, we've never been able to provide a whole income for my family just through the radio ministry. But we're moving in that direction now, and God is blessing it. So if you want to jump in right here at the end of the year, just go to the website, thestevenobleshow.com. You'll see it right at the top. We hit our matching grant, praise the Lord, this month, but could still use all the support we can get because we want to build out these new venues, the YouTube channel, doing videos there. And I'd also love to start speaking on college campuses and engaging face-to-face. So I'll tell you more about that as we move into that. But let me get back to these votes in Congress, and we'll go from there. StevenNobleShow.com if you want. Let's see. All right, so we had in Congress all these bills, massive spending, debt ceiling raise, and Democrat priorities funded. In February, the Republican majority in Congress passed a two-year budget agreement containing the largest spending increase since the 2009 stimulus bill passed by Democrats under President Obama. But that was passed by a Republican Congress under a Republican president. Get it? Throw in the debt ceiling increase on top of all of that, and you have one of the worst pieces of legislation Congress passed in 2018, which the Senate voted to advance 73-26, which means they picked up a bunch of Republicans, right? And the House passed 240-186, same thing. Here's another one. Advance a massive $1.3 trillion omnibus that funds Democrat priorities. Then the House and the Senate both did that. Pass amnesty with citizenship for 1.8 million illegal immigrants. That was the DACA situation, right? And then Trump ended up agreeing to and signing off on more than Obama even asked for there. So that was a problem in many ways. Pass a promise-breaking cromnibus before the election. Just before the election, Congress added a continuing resolution, a CR, to another omnibus spending bill, creating an $855 billion cromnibus bill, combining Department of Defense funding with labor, health, and human services education funding. The dirty swamp trick of this vote was to make it look like conservatives opposed to increased funding for government programs in the health and human services, labor, and education departments were also opposed to increased military spending. Of course, they aren't. The military is held hostage by congressional leadership to force conservative lawmakers to vote for these progressive policies. It was a despicable thing to do. This is from the Conservative Review. The Senate passed the cromnibus in a vote of 93-7, and the House passed it 361-61. Just spending money like crazy. Then another one, the $900 billion farm bill, which has all kinds of problems in it, but they never go there. They never deal with it. They just pass it about every 5 years because we care about the farmers, but mostly this benefits agribusiness, not individual farmers. So that was a problem. And then the First Step Act, which is got all kinds of problems with it. I haven't spent any time on the air talking about it, but I will. but you've got all kinds of problems there with the First Step Act, which is going to loosen and give way too much leniency, I think, to wardens and people being able to let people off. Violent criminals, including pedophiles, by the way, giving them kind of credits for good behavior, and then get out early, which I don't think is justice at all. So all kinds of things going on in Congress that aren't good. Democrats take over the House on Wednesday. They'll pass a bill in the House. It won't go anywhere in the Senate, and Trump probably won't sign it. So I hope that we'll see this government shutdown go on for a while, okay? Because I think we need that. Although most of the federal employees are not going to miss a paycheck. All that stuff, it's so much smoke and mirrors. Because it shuts down about, I think it's like 25% of the government actually shuts down when this happens. So don't just buy the headlines. You got to do some homework. If I can suggest to you, and for myself as well, but if I can suggest to you one New Year's resolution, don't just read headlines. Do some homework. Read past the headline. Read past the clickbait. Inform yourself, okay? And I agree. And Zoe on Facebook Live and a couple of people, including Ocasio-Cortez, have said, hey, we're doing this. We're shutting down the government. People in Congress shouldn't get paid either. Amen to that. I never thought I'd be able to say amen to something Ocasio-Cortez said. Because I put up an article earlier today on Facebook. Her Green New Deal, which she would like to see come out in 2020, will totally destroy the country. It won't go anywhere, but if you read the article, this was in Fox News, you read the article, I put it on Facebook, if Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal succeeds in 2019, it will be the most radical plan offered in decades, and it is trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that we don't have. Unbelievable. But she did suggest that members of Congress shouldn't get paid during the government shutdown, and I say a hearty amen to that. Okay, some people we lost. By month, let's see. Of course, the big, you know, one of the biggest ones, I think the most significant one this year was Dr. Billy Graham. He died at 99, actually on my birthday, February 21st. So that was massive. Stephen Hawking, of course, the really well-known theoretical physicist who's also an atheist, died at age 76. Who else? There's a bunch of people in here. Linda Brown, it was 75. She was at the center of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling, Brown versus the Board of Education. That was Linda Brown. She died in March. That's a big one. Most people never hear about him. Barbara Bush died in April at 92. Let's see. Margot Kidder, the actress, died in May at 69. Kate Spade, that was so sad, a fashion designer. Suicide, which is massively on the rise, has been for the last 20 years in America. Gina Turkel, probably don't know that name, do you? I didn't either. 95. A Holocaust survivor who comforted Anne Frank at the concentration camp. Isn't that amazing? She died on June 7th. Anthony Bourdain at CNN, of course, that was a suicide. Another sad case in June. And then in August, oh, the lady from Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray. She died at 92. Aretha Franklin, 76, died. Robin Leach, remember him? Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. He died August 24th. John McCain was 81. He died August 25th. Neil Simon, the playwright, August 26th. Of course, Burt Reynolds in September. And then Paul Allen, who helped co-found Microsoft, died in October. And then, of course, more recently, Stan Lee last month, the creative dynamo who revolutionized comic books. Roy Clark died last month. George H.W. Bush in November. And then Penny Marshall just died in December. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Great to be with you. And again, happy Merry, Merry Christmas a couple days after the fact. And then Happy New Year 2018 rolling out tonight and then in with 2019. These years get shorter every year as we get older, which is very frustrating. We were looking at some of the big stories of the year. And I'm going to tell you one other story and then we'll talk to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. But also wanted to remind you before we finish up the year about one of the great sponsors and partners on the air. It's our friends at MediShare. And when our family found out about MediShare back in 2011, it was a no-brainer for us at the time. It made perfect sense. We're like, wow, I didn't even know this was an option. A Christian ministry nationwide, over 300,000 Christians helping to shoulder one another's burdens. What a novel idea. Unless you've read the book of Acts, then, you know, that should seem somewhat familiar to you. That we would actually shoulder one another's burdens. So that's what happens with MediShare. Over 300,000 Christians nationwide shouldering each other's major medical expenses. Totally different way of coming at it. You don't have to get involved with Obamacare. You don't have to pay for things that you shouldn't be paying for as a follower of Jesus Christ and somebody with a biblical worldview. And so MediShare saving on average, the average family saves about $500 a month using MediShare. So it was awesome for us, eye-opening when we found out about it. So I hope you'll do the same and get educated. Again, no clickbait. Don't just read the art. Just don't read the title. Just don't hear the little shot across the bow about some information that sounds great or disturbing or whatever. Actually do your homework. That's my New Year's resolution for all of us. We're going to be more educated next year than we were this year. We're going to read into things, not just read headlines. But MediShare, find out for yourself. Just give them a call, 844-744-BIBLE. And that will be a great use of your time. Good stewardship there. 844-744-BIBLE. MediShare, again, a Christian ministry nationwide as Christians help shoulder one another's major medical expenses. Really awesome, MediShare, and appreciate their partnership. Okay, let me tell you the story real quick, then we'll jump over to David Fisher. We'll do a little 2018 wrap-up and a look forward in 2019. From the financial thing, I mentioned this earlier, father books 6 flights over Christmas to spend time with his daughter. Well, what? That's because she was a flight attendant. Ohio man Mike Levy wrote a Facebook post that has gone viral telling the story of a man named Hal, whom he sat next to on Christmas Eve, a flight from Fort Myers, Florida to Detroit, Michigan. Hal's daughter, Pierce, is a flight attendant who was working over the holiday. So Hal booked multiple flights on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day to spend time with his daughter. That's awesome. Great job, Hal. What a great dad to spend time with his daughter who was working over that. And that's just, listen, we just spent 10 days together. The Noble family did. And our son, who now lives in Orlando, was with us. That time is precious. You know that if you have children and a family. You know that time is precious. The days are fleeting. And hopefully every member of my family and every member of your family are followers of Jesus Christ. Maybe not today, but soon, before they die. And then we'll have that fellowship forever. But that's not a guarantee. I don't know the situation in your family and friends. And so we need to take advantage of the time that we do have, especially for the sake of the gospel. But I thought that was a great story. I wanted to share that with you. Let's go to our buddy, David Fisher. David, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Happy New Year, a little early. How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, thank you so much. Merry Christmas to your listeners, too, and belated that, and Happy New Year early today here. We're doing great. The Fisher family and myself are thankful for a lot of things, and it's great to be on your show today.
Well, it's great to have you on, David, and I really appreciate back at the beginning of the month and you shared everything that's been going on with your health challenges, and so many people were appreciative of you sharing that testimony, what God's been doing. How are you feeling right now? I know you still got some hills to climb, but how are you feeling today?
We're taking one little hill at a time. I'm feeling better than I did here a week ago, and substantially better than a few weeks ago. So, I mean, the Lord is faithful to do his part, and I'm following doctor's orders and doing my part, and somewhere in the middle, miracles can happen.
Amen. That's exactly right. Well, that takes us to the verse you wanted to start with today, and then we'll jump into some 2018 and 2019 things with the time that we have. But James 5:16, which is a big deal, and because you've been living this out with your health challenges, but I think we all need to remember this one. So James 5:16.
The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, prayer changes hearts, prayer changes lives. It changes families, communities, it changes nations, and it affects small things and big things. And sometimes we really don't know what prayer does as far as seeing the answer to it. And it comes in different forms, because usually when we're in a situation, Steve, like I was in, you begin to ask the initial question, oh, why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
Instead of, Lord, let your will be done. And as I was being put, I'm going to relay the personal experience. I didn't know this last time we were on the show. Many know my wife called 911. I was having a heartbeat of 215, and the ambulance came, put me in the ambulance. And my neighbor down the street saw me being put in the ambulance. And I found this out after going through the hospital and the whole thing. He called me, left a message, finally got back to him. And I apologize for being delayed. And he says, I told him I was being picked up by an ambulance. And he said, funny that you say that. He says, I have not prayed in 30 years.
Wow.
I saw you being put in the ambulance, and I started in my own way praying for you. Pray to God. I don't know what that really is like, but I did. And it felt good.
Wow.
A week later, he texts me, says, I stepped foot in church for the first time also in 30 years.
Oh, man.
I responded by, first of all, thanking him for his prayers. And I said, Tommy, who knows? God moved mightily in my life because you were praying. You were there, and you prayed in your special way, and God heard your prayer. Otherwise, I won't be able to probably talk on the phone today, because I wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for people like you and others that prayed. So the prayer of effectual, fervent man, even though he might not know how to pray,
Yeah.
God still hears.
Amen.
And sometimes he answers in the most unique way by touching a person at the very depth of his being who's never been touched in maybe 30 years.
I'm so glad you've shared that story, because that's just a reminder that you said, all the physical challenges and health scares and all that stuff that you've been going through for several weeks now, and you go, ultimately in the grand scheme of things, in the eternal scheme of things, is it worth it if your neighbor ends up becoming a follower of Jesus Christ and he's saved for all eternity? A little bit of
absolutely.
Trouble that we have. Absolutely. Of course it is.
It's just a blink of an eye, all these issues that's our tent, our physical body that houses
right.
who we really are, our spirit and our soul.
That's right.
That's all going to continue, but the tent, the body, is going to perish, and those are small afflictions in the scheme
right.
of things.
That's right. All working themselves into an eternal weight of glory. Amen for that. Okay, so you've been on once a week basically for almost 3 years now, David. So you made a bunch of predictions about 2018. So what were they? And I know a bunch of them, if not all of them, came true.
Well, some people might label me as a person who he talks about some negative things, that the thing's going to do this and the market's going to go down. That's not always the case, because in 2017, I said we're going to have a bull market in stocks and a bull market in gold, and stocks would outperform gold, and this would happen while the dollar would go up. And I said this is unheard of, but I made that prediction in January of 2017, and obviously that happened. I said this year is going to be quite different in January than 2017, and it was, and I said we're going to see at best a 7% increase in stocks, but more like 3% or 4%. And it's not going to be anything like it was last year. And we're going to have a lot of volatility. And the Fed is going to affect this market when they unravel their balance sheet or unwind it, and also by raising rates and some probably uncertainties that we will see as we get through the year. Well, what happened? The Dow is down 6.7%. S&P 7%, NASDAQ down 4.7%, the dollar went up 3.4%, gold is down 2.7%. So anything you invest in, for the most part, by index, didn't perform very well.
Yeah, that's right.
But recently, a good thing is, I said in August, gold is going to make a big run. It went up 9.8%, and it's continuing on this bull market, and it's something that to take serious in its investment. So I talked a lot about markets. I talked about the Fed, and I talked about China. So in reference to the Fed, I said they're going to wind the balance sheet, and when they do, the first time they do it in the year, it's going to cause market volatility, and that was the 10% down at the end of January, early February. And I said we're going to see more of this when they go to full capacity sometime around September, and that's when we saw the next big downturn. Since then, I said we were going to see volatility, and we're not going to get back to square one more than likely, and we didn't. And I said, we're going to have 4 interest rate hikes. The Fed will do that, and they did. So that's the two main things. And then reference to China and tariffs, I said they're going to go on for quite some time. And we're not going to come to agreement for months, if not quarters. And we certainly still don't have an agreement.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's been a very challenging, very serious year. But as we turn into 2019, we've talked about 2019, 2020 moving into a recession. Are you still feeling confident about that forward-looking idea?
Unfortunately, I think 2019 and 20 are going to be similar to what we saw this year. With a few more twists, I'll get into a lot of my predictions since we're going to have a full time together next Monday.
Next week,
hopefully.
Yep.
And I'm going to lay that out because we're going to run out of time here in a minute or so. But it's going to not be a year where you're going to want to have a lot of your money in stock portfolios unless you have a way of hedging that. And there is ways to do that. So contact your financial advisor if you're working one. Contact my company and diversify. It's imperative that you diversify now because we're going to have some challenges and we might move into recession. If not halfway through this year, it'll be towards the end of next year.
Yeah, rocky road ahead for sure, which is why I appreciate, David, you always being on the show. And we spend some time together every Monday. Next Monday, we'll do a full Money Monday talking about what's coming up in 2019 and 2020 and how to be ready for it, how to take a defensive position when the markets are very, very challenging. David Fisher, always at landmarkgold.com. Their phone number is 844-879-8882. Happy New Year, brother. I love you and appreciate you. And we'll talk again soon.
Likewise, my brother. God bless.
Okay, God bless. We'll talk soon. Okay, friends, Happy New Year. Keep it between the lines tonight, God willing. I'll talk to you again real soon.